Our message today comes from Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll be looking at verses 15 through 21. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. Ephesians is a letter. Sometimes you refer to it as an epistle, which means letter, that Paul wrote to the church that was at Ephesus. And so those that were in Ephesus were called Ephesians. So we're going to be in chapter 5 and looking at verses 15 through 21. And in this scripture, we're going to look at a contrast and a comparison. So let's read that scripture together in Ephesians chapter 5, 15 through 21. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. We see this contrast of wise, being wise, versus fools. This term dissipation, some translation uses the words debauchery. They talk about riotous living. It's a challenging word to pick up on. It's some translations, some things, if you look up those words, it might say spiritual wastefulness due to excessive behavior and the dire consequences. Boy, that sounds a little bit challenging, but I think if you've been around someone that is drunk, you've watched their behavior. When they get drunk on whatever alcohol, they change. Their inhibitions go down. Things that they would not normally say, they say. Sometimes they talk about alcohol will loosen your tongue. Some people will use alcohol to get get information out of other people. But if you've been around people that are drunk, sometimes they can be a happy drunk, I guess, but there's also other people that are mean drunks. And they do things that they wished later that they hadn't done. Sometimes they don't remember what they've done. You can talk to them and you can say almost anything to them because they don't know what they've done. They forget. Maybe that's they drink to the point that they drown themselves in their sorrows and drinking, but then they have more sorrows because the problem hasn't gone away and they've done something stupid while they were drunk. People might cheat on their wives when they're drunk or cheat on their husbands when they're drunk, and then you could end up with children being born out of that kind of situation, or you might end up with someone that is driving drunk and kill someone, all because they are drunk. And when you're drunk, you give that control of yourself and you lose self-control. And you allow yourself to be controlled by either others or the worst of yourselves. I remember a story when I was in college. It wasn't a story, it actually happened, but a guy went downtown to drink, and they went to a bar, and on their way back, him not discerning, it was dark. I'm pretty sure he was drunk, as I recall, but he decided to jump over some bushes. The unfortunate things, the bushes were outlining the side of a cliff that went down into a ravine or a lower place down below, and he jumped the bushes and fell to his death on the railroad tracks below. Drunk. He was drunk. We give ourselves over when you get drunk, and for what purpose? See, during these holiday times, people use, it could be a family gathering of Thanksgiving, or maybe it's a football game, or maybe it's a Christmas gathering or a New Year's gathering, to drink. And the alcohol seems to make the party. Then for what purpose do they do it? To feel better? The thing is, if you're self-medicating on anything like that, any drug like that, it can cause issues. And you succumb to it. But alcohol, you lose your inhibitions, you lose your self-control, and so you're drinking, you just drink more. Yeah, never, when someone's drinking, how much it takes to get drunk depends on a lot of factors. How big they are. How much they've drunk in the past. How much they've had to eat. But then they start to get out of control and people talk them into doing things. And then they start affecting other people. They start affecting their family. They're cheating on their spouse, or they're beating their wife, or their children, or whatever they might be doing. For what? The ability to get drunk or to be able to put down more alcohol than someone else is not a virtue. It's not really a sign of manhood. Drunkenness throughout Scripture and being a drunkard is looked down on. And here we're explicitly told not to be drunk with wine. I think it extends beyond just wine. It's don't be drunk. It says in contrast to that, but be filled with the Spirit. The intoxicating aspects of alcohol take control. Either the alcohol takes away your inhibitions. In some ways, I just think it makes you stupid. In contrast to that, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit and intoxicated, as it were, with the Holy Spirit, if instead of being filled with wine, being filled with alcohol, we are filled with the Spirit, we possess an inner joy. When some people get drunk, they get happy. But they're only happy for a time until they fall down and crack their head open because they can't walk straight. People make fun of them and they don't even know it because they're acting stupid. And they might be happy at the time, but when they wake up with a headache or with the injury or having cheated on their wife or have beat their spouse or driven drunk and they wake up in jail or they've killed somebody on the road, that temporary joy and peace they had because they got drunk on some alcohol is gone. The surface happiness, it masks the underlying pain that they might have, or they just might think that's the way They get happy. Sometimes people drink to make themselves look good with other people. They want to prove how much they can drink. See, the joy of the Lord through the Holy Spirit, if we're intoxicated with the Holy Spirit, that is a deep joy and peace that is lasting. That when you get up in the morning, you're not dreading, what did I do last night, because you can't remember. You remember the gathering together of people, and if they're people of God, it's a time of uplifting, and you have the Holy Spirit. You don't have guilt or shame or wonderings of what you've done. You wake up happy. And even in the midst of difficult things of life, you have a deeper joy. And you wonder, where does that joy come from? It's from the Holy Spirit. And look, people look at you and say, you don't have a job, you don't have a house, you don't have this, you don't have that, but you seem to have some inner joy. What is that? It's the Holy Spirit. Alcohol just is a covering. It doesn't percolate or causes anything long-lasting. See, in verse 19, it says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. When you go on the weekend or go to a party or a holiday party, a Christmas party, and you get drunk, you get the hangover, you start paying for the bills of things that you damaged or the cost of things, that party kind of goes away. But the Holy Spirit, and being filled with the Holy Spirit, is the thing that when you're working on your house, or you're cleaning your house, or you're driving down the road, or you listen to a song on the radio or on YouTube or on something, there comes into your heart a melody, a song that you sing along with, and you might not like to sing where other people can hear you, but in your car or where you're at, you're by yourself, and you're singing to the Lord, and it's that joy that comes and lifts you up, and there's no guilt, there's no remorse, because it's the deep joy of the Holy Spirit that's lifting you up. See, it's in contrast of the stupidity of getting drunk and turning yourself over to alcohol and letting yourself to be abused by the devil, allowing yourself to be abused by others, manipulated into doing things that you wouldn't normally do. You've given yourself over to the alcohol. You've surrendered yourself to the alcohol. Why? Why? I don't know how you rationalize it. Just because everybody else is doing it and say, hey, it's been a long week, let's go get drunk. It's very interesting that you want to go get alcohol, which is a depressive, to make you feel better. But people do it. And people do it. And how do you know when you're drunk, by the way? Well, probably after it's too late. Because you've drunk something and it's starting to affect you, and now you're drunk. How do you know where the line is? You have to get drunk to know where the line is. You have to practice being drunk and not being too drunk, and how much can I drink and not get drunk, and what food do I need to eat so my belly's full so I don't get as drunk, and what kind of alcohol is it? I mean, you have to take like a science degree to understand drunkenness without getting drunk, unless you get drunk and find your line that way. So to stay on this line of not being drunk, and how do I control when I'm drunk or not, it means I have to have been drunk before. There's another way not to get drunk. Don't drink in the first place. If I don't take the first drink, I don't need to worry about the second drink. If I don't take the first drink, I don't have to worry about getting drunk because I'm not going to. It's just like if you don't want to have a baby, don't have sex with somebody. It's called abstinence. A little self-control. The Bible uses the word sober. We're to be sober-minded. It's very hard to be sober-minded if you're drunk. Sober-minded means you're serious about things and what's going on. But when you do that, you still can have the joy of the Lord in the most dire circumstances because you're not surrendered to the alcohol. You're not surrendered to the people trying to make you drink or surrendered to the drugs or surrendered to the other things. You're surrendered to the Holy Spirit, and from Him is the source of joy. And when things are tough, you can lean on God. Because Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He says, take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light. When it says, take my yoke upon you, a yoke is sharing. He helps us bear the burden. But we need to be in a place surrendered to the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit and not allow ourselves to be open to the dangers, to ramifications of drunkenness. So if I was you, I wouldn't bother drinking. There's other things. If you're thirsty, there's this thing called water, at a minimum. You don't want to get a taste for that. It's just like people that have a gambling addiction. Don't start. And if you have trouble with alcohol, don't go to the bar. Well, I'm just going to go to the bar to get some pop. I want to get something to drink. Or not if you have trouble with alcohol. Don't even open yourself to it. Avoid it. Abstain. Abstain. Fill yourself rather with the Holy Spirit. Be intoxicated with the Holy Spirit. People get happy, they start singing songs, but you can get happy and singing songs in the Lord and that happiness can be for an eternity. But the happiness of when you're drunk lasts for the drunkenness. And by the way, you won't remember it afterwards if you get so drunk that you don't remember. And all you'll remember is the headache. So where is the wisdom in that? So let's read those scriptures again. And maybe you'll think about it in a different context. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Melody in the heart to your Lord, not in slurred speech. Not fumbling, bumbling because you can't talk straight because you're drunk. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. As you go to your holiday parties and there's alcohol going on and drinking going on, people should be able to see you and see some circumspect, wise behavior. You don't need to carry around a cup that makes it look like you might be drinking. So you look cool with your little red cup, little plastic red cup with the alcohol in it, or whatever it might be. You can carry around your can of soda or pop or whatever it means, let people know I'm not drinking what you're drinking. Because I'm going home safe and happy. I'm not going home with you because you're drunk. I'm not going to do foolish things. I'm not going to let the devil use this alcohol to take over my life. Let's be filled with the Spirit. Let's show Christ to other people. And may we have the joy of Christ in our hearts. Not something pretend, not something surface, but something deeper. Let's be standing together. Father God, we thank you for each one that is here today. We thank you for those that might hear this message later. Father, we pray that though the temptations might come to find our own solutions, to do self-medicating activities that can be destructive, to get rid of the pain, may we seek you, your will, and your way, and find out what real happiness is, what real joy is. It's being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, something that's lasting, something we don't need to feel guilty about, and something that's not destructive to the people that are around us. Lord, may we bless your name and be an example to others of what it means to be a follower of Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.